How easy or difficult is it to collect an oral history?
Well, it's as easy or difficult as you want to make it. I guess that's not perhaps the answer that you want to hear. But
no.
You can make a history that is to be archived using, you know, top quality recording equipment. Or, you know, you could just go out with a recorder and record someone's story. So it really depends on the purpose of the project that you're doing.
And I guess from our local community's point of view, it might sort of veer towards the latter of that, which is the importance and the desire to simply collect that history, that first-person recollection of local history before it's gone.
That's often the cause that, or the thing that people are wanting to do. But what we urge people to think about is how they want to use the history and what their purpose is, but then to think about the future and how other people might want to use that history, say 50 years or 100 years from now, if the history in fact survives. Because that's one of the biggest issues with oral history now is, you know, how to store recorded material in a time when the technology for storage is changing so quickly that,
yeah,
you know, it's really hard to keep up with it.
Yeah.
You know, in 50 years' time, someone might approach that recording or that history with a completely different idea of what they want to do with it and what nuances they want to select from it. So you kind of have to think about how things might be used in the future.
Let's talk about the mechanics of this. Let's take it from that community level, although I'm sure there's a number of different levels that people will come at even within that subcategory. Somebody wanting to collect the local history of the town and the aged people within that town in particular, though not exclusively. The setting up of the interview, the recording of the interview, what are some of the golden rules?
Okay, that's really important. First of all, when you're doing an interview, it's really important that your interviewer understands how to actually conduct an interview. That's absolutely critical. We listen to so many recordings now where the interviewer has butted in, told their own story, taken the interviewee off the topic, not listened carefully enough, and perhaps not delved into really interesting subject material. So it's really important that you've got an interviewer that understands what's going on and is prepared to ask a question and just sit back and say nothing, yes or a nod or a, you know, chuckle, just to make it really clear to the interviewee that that you're there to ask the questions and to get their story and to get a really clean copy of their story without bits and pieces in it.
You know, I was really trying... Oh, I've interrupted you. I was really trying to keep my mouth shut there, because the key thing we tell new recruits who come and work for us at ABC Gippsland is keep your mouth shut.
Absolutely.
And listen, if you can know nothing about the topic that the person is talking about, it could be tiddlywinks or nuclear fission, but if you listen, you'll get some questions that will come into your head through just through curiosity, I suppose.
Yes. And that's, you know, you've got to be an interested listener. That's really important. There's the mechanics of setting up the interview and doing some background research on your interviewee so that you understand a little bit about their life, but not too much. You know, there's one school of thought that would say go in knowing nothing and ask the questions. The other would be going in informed and asking informed questions. But that's kind of, you know, that should be addressed in the project mechanics at the start. Do your research on the background of the town so that you kind of know where you're going or the background of the history, and have good recording equipment that you're familiar with the use of, that's makes everyone at ease. It's a lot of the recording equipment that was used, you were kind of wired into a piece of equipment, and that can be a bit confronting for elderly people to be sitting there with mics clipped onto their lapels and all of that. So it's really good to sort of select the right recording equipment for the people that you're going to be interviewing.
I would have thought the lapel mic, if somebody's able to access them, is actually less invasive than the microphone in front of them or the microphone coming back and forth with the interviewer's hand. I'm curious what you're saying there.
There's some really good portable equipment that's available now that does the purpose very well. The WAV. We also recommend recording WAV recordings as well rather than MP3 recordings.
Oh, okay.
And that's just a sort of a future consideration.
Mm.
But there's some really good recording equipment now that you can basically just set up, and you know, there's no mics unless you really want them, and you can sit it quite close to people. You can, you know, build it up, build the height of it up on phone books or whatever's available, and they do quite good interviews. But really, you have to sort of select. Again, that's the purpose of the interview. You work out what you're going to use when you set up the boundaries of what the interview is going to be like and what the project is about.
Can I ask a specific question here? Here I am. I'm doing an oral history. I'm doing the oral history of Town X. It's all going swimmingly. I'm talking to lots of different people. But at some stage, there has been a dispute or a series of disputes within the town, which is only human. I mean, these things occur. And you're hearing people say, oh, yeah, but then that happened. But, we don't talk about that. How do you overcome, it could be that sort of town-based issue. It could be a personal thing within a family. If you're talking to a significant family and there's a cupboard that has a skeleton within it. How do you, as the interviewer, how do you suggest the interviewer overcomes that in this informal relationship in some ways, which is what it is?
Well, the first thing that springs to my mind is the possibility of some sort of libel or some sort of, legal implications of asking those questions if there's someone named or someone accused of something that hasn't happened. So that would be a tread gently area as far as I was concerned. Look, I've come across that in my own interviews where one member of a family has a very particular memory of a person and another member of the same family has a very different memory of the same person and the two are opposed. And I feel that as a responsible historian, you have to, opening the cupboard door is going to provide fascinating reading and, some intrigue and, a great story. But whether that's the right thing to do for the family or for the town or for the individuals involved, you have to go into a project prepared to do no harm. Basically, that's the sort of the overarching moral rule is that you ethically you're going to do no harm. Mm. So if it's going to hurt people, if it's going to upset people, if it's going to, have guns out, then I think I wouldn't go there, and I would advise not to go there.
So would you do that in the what we would call on this side of the microphone, the pre-interview? Are there areas where you, as the family, because I'm going to sit down with Family X, or even a subcommittee from a town, for instance, would you say, are there areas here where it is best to avoid? Would you actually state that out loud in that agreement stage?
I'm not sure about that because you might find that there are too many senses put on material then too. I think you've got to kind of work with sort of an ethical framework or work within an ethical framework and just be very careful, when you sense those sensitive areas.
So again, it comes back to listening, doesn't it?
It does come back to listening. Yes. Mm. But look, the other thing about that is, I recently interviewed my father, and he's blind, and I was very careful because I knew the audience was going to be a birthday celebration audience, and I kind of didn't want to upset him about his blindness. But when I listened back to the recording that I'd done, he really wanted to tell me about it, but I'd stopped him every time he'd started. So you've got to be really careful that. That was a significant thing in his life, going blind, and he wanted to share that with the people who were attending his birthday where this recording was going to be played. But I was feeling uncomfortable on his behalf, so I censored it and I stopped him talking about it.
It's that self-awareness thing,
isn't
it?
Yeah, it was really clear when I listened back that he wanted to tell that story. Mm. So, I feel bad about that.